Welcome to My Orgasmic Life podcast, a show that where we talk about sex, love, relationships, and kink. And of course, my favorite part, I share with you my very graphic, very juicy, and always entertaining orgasmic life. I'm Gaia Morissette, your hostess, and your holistic sexual wellness specialist, your trauma healer, your BDSM expert, and of course, your pro dominatrix. The show was inspired to inspire you to support your orgasmic living. Remember, always check the content warning before you listen and make sure you're listening where no one else can hear it, because you never, ever know what I'm going to say, because I always come with an explicit graphic content warning. Now, strap in and enjoy the show. Hello, my sexy audience. So right now, you probably can't hear it, which is great, but apparently they're vibrating my whole house. So if you hear me go, because like, oh, that's good vibration. construction. You gotta find, I remember one of the episodes earlier in the summer, I said, you know, my goal was to figure out how to turn this construction adventure into something sexy and hot. I spend a lot of time vibrating my house. So I spend a lot of time running around my house, putting my vagina against things. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Just, you know, forewarning. Okay. So today's topic, recently, and it's not just recently, often I have people ask me, okay, where do I find play partners? And so right now we're going to just talk about how do you find, say, we'll do vanilla partners. We'll do vanilla partners. We'll do non-monogamous partners, and we will do kinky partners. Okay. So if I start talking, you're like, that's not what I want to know about. Don't worry. I'm sure I will cover it in whatever category you fall in. Kinky, slutty, non-monogamous, vanilla. All right. So let's start with how do we find a play partner, a sex partner with no strings attached? There is no such thing, by the way, as no strings attached, unless you hire a professional. So I just want to say that for the record. Not that I'm promoting hiring anybody, because that's not legal, depending on where you live. Okay. So to find a sex partner without wanting to have a full relationship with, it's really important before you start the process is to figure out what is it that you are looking for. You know, on the dating apps, there's tons of different ones. They all have different functions. They all have different purposes. You can figure out which one resonates with you the best. There's, you know, there's Field, there's Bumble, there's Tinder, there's Grind. There's like tons of them, depending on what you're looking for and what, you know, who you are. Okay. But before we get into that, you know, how to navigate the apps, we need to figure out who we are and what we want. And not just like, oh, I'm looking for, you know, no strings attached. I'm looking for casual sex. Like, great. But what does that mean? Does that mean once a week, twice a week, once a month, once every 6 months? Does that mean, you know, you're good with going out for dinner first, spending some, you know, kind of dating time before you fuck? Or is it just, you know, is it just sex? Get in, get out, don't mess my hairdo. Like, what is it that you really want and makes you feel good about having sex? right? Everybody has their different levels of needing connection and intimacy in order to have sexual interactions. So first off, what is yours? Because before you can go, you know, seeking, you need to know who you are, right? Like I said, some people need, you know, a date, need to do some dating things, followed by some fucking, then followed by some date, like activities. Some people are like, I just want to meet and fuck and, you know, I don't want to hear about your life and you don't want to hear about my life. And it's like, you know, that was good. High five. See you next week. Right? There's differing degrees of it. And where people often run into trouble is that we don't know who we are, or how do I want to praise? Actually, I want to change that. We may not be consciously aware of who we are. And so we aren't in alignment. So I have a friend. Yes, it's for a friend. I have a friend that over the years, I've watched her journey and her struggle with, she truly is a get in, get out, don't mess my hairdo kind of gal. But she didn't want to be perceived as a slut or, you know, a bad girl or a naughty girl. And so she would go through the motions of saying, okay, well, I want a commitment, like I want a connection and I want to feel connected to somebody. And we have to do some datey things before. And then maybe you have to stay the night so I don't feel dirty. And like I, you know, just was used for sex, even though that's what she truly in her heart really desired. So that can be complex. It can be more complex, like I said, until recently where she's like, nope, this is who I am. This is how I move. Here's my process. This is what I'm looking for. And now she can articulate it clearly. And as she's articulating it clearly, the people that she's having sex with also are in alignment with her. And so it works out really well. Everybody's happy. Everybody's getting what they need. And no one's feeling bad, dirty, wrong, shame about it. Okay, so that's first step. Step one, who are you? What do you need? What kind of level of connection and intimacy what you need for in a play partner, sexual play partner? And this kind of goes for that first step goes for whether you're just looking for sex, whether you're looking for, you know, now if you're non-monogamous, okay, so now we're going to add the non-monogamy part of it, okay? So just vanilla sex is just, you know, kind of regular, you know, doing it missionary, maybe get doggy style, get in, get out, no wild, crazy stuff, okay? Now let's talk about what are you looking for if you're a non-monogamous play partner. So if you're monogamous, then you'll also want to have that conversation, by the way, of like, well, are we exclusive in our, you know, sex, right? Are we, you know, am I just fucking, you know, are we just fucking each other? And if we're just fucking each other, okay, what does that look like for us? If you are going to be not monogamous, you need to talk about that. If you're a monogamous person, you're going to need to talk about, well, yeah, do I want to know about the other play partners that you have? Because we're not really serious, so I don't really care. Or do I need to know, you know, vice versa? Do you need me to tell you? So that's a conversation regardless of whether you're monogamous or not. You still need to have the conversation. If it's just casual sex that you're looking for, are you having casual sex with other people as well? Need to know that within yourself if that's what you want. And then you can articulate it to the people that you're playing with. So if you're non-monogamous, now there's another layer. So when you're discovering who you are and what you want and how you best connect and what level of intimacy and connection and arousal and all these beautiful things, and you're not monogamous, okay, so what does that look like for you? Because non-monogamy comes in many, many forms. There's poly, swinging, just being a big slut, having a harem, like there's lots of variables. There's, you know, where everybody is aware of each other. There's, you know, people, you know, sometimes, you know, you may play with your partners more, you know, more of your partners together. So it's like all of those variables I want you to think about. Well, what do I want? What works best for me? Here's an example. back in the day when I had a harem. My life has changed now, as I've talked about, you know, my master, aka overlord, and being in charge of my sexuality. My sex life looks differently. But back in the day when I was, I made my choices about who I fucked and when I fucked and how I fucked, and I always had a harem. And what always seemed to work best for me was having like a kind of a primary partner. And then I had all these other lovers in the harem that I saw, you know, whatever frequency worked within our schedules. And I was not, I did not really want to do datey things. So we, you know, other than our first date to see if we connected, I really didn't do it. We didn't do food. We didn't hang out. And, you know, and we came over. I went over there. We had awesome sex. And then I left. If it was, you know, somebody that I wanted to have awesome sex more than one round, then we may have a round and then might do some talking, but really casually, not like about major stuff in our lives. And then we would have more sex. And then we might do some talking while we're, you know, recovery time. And then we'd have more sex. And then it would be a, you know, for me, it was a fist bump. Thanks, man. My lovers always knew I was done with them when I'm like, thanks, man. That was great, man. Or dude. But you said dude or man, that meant, you know. All right, I'll see you next time. And then they would leave. So no one ever slept over, and that worked well for me. And everybody knew what they were getting into when they were part of the harem. So that's what I mean about, well, what works for you. I know other non-monogamous people who really like, that are more poly and really like to date a lot of different partners that they have sex with, and that they're in love with, and they, you know, have deep connections with, and that's beautiful too. Like, there's nothing wrong with any of it. It's just, you need to know when you're looking for a play partner. First, you got to decide who you are and what best suits you, and how do you play? What do you bring to the table, basically? All right, so now let's go to our kinksters. Ah, my people. So, kinksters. Now, this is more complex because you really need to know who you are, what your kinks are, what you're looking for, what you're looking to explore, what kind of dynamics do you want? Do you want power dynamics? Do you want just, you know, play? Do you want an ongoing 24/7? Do you want, you know, like, what is it that you desire? Are you dominant? Are you submissive? Are you a switch? What are you? All right. And so again, this is like a deep, you gotta know who you are. And I would highly recommend, if you're brand new to this, then it might be a good idea to hire somebody like me to help you figure out who you are and what you need and what you're looking for and why and what you want to explore, and to really get clear on that. Because without that clarity and you go out into the world of kink, it can be very dangerous, especially if you happen to be a subby. It can be incredibly dangerous because you can end up in situations that you're not prepared for because you didn't really know whether or not that was your thing. I talk often about subbies, is that, you know, as a true subby, your need to say yes and to please is so overrides sometimes your self-preservation. And so it's really important to figure out and have a very clear plan when you're looking for a dom, what it is. And, you know, there's a bunch of, I've done episodes on kinky dating, finding the perfect dom, partnering the perfect sub. So please go listen to those episodes, that it dives into deeper into what that is. But as I said, the first thing with finding for any play partner is you need to know who you are, how you work, what do you need? What level of connection? What level of intimacy? How much time spent during, like before, during, and after? What do you need? Okay. So step one, figure that out. Step two, now we create our profiles. Now, the idea is not to just talk about this is what I'm looking for, and that most of your profile is about what you're looking for and not about what you bring to the table. That's not appealing. It's not sexy. If you know somebody's looking at that ad, they're not like, oh, why would I choose you? What is about you that says, yes, I would like to reach out and swipe you and interact with you? So the first part of your profile needs to be about what you are bringing to the table, who you are, what is the thrill of spending time with you, talk about yourself. And I know that can be really uncomfortable, but this is why we did the first step, which is know thyself. Now you know who you are, you can tell people why, how you move and what you work, So a great beginning would be, profile, say I was writing my profile, it'd be like, all right, 49-year-old sexual goddess, sexual orgasmic goddess. Now that doesn't be like, oh, she's confident, she is sexy, and she likes sex. Okay, all right, now pay attention, pay attention. My philosophy in life is, three things that I might even say, three things I'm passionate about life: human sexuality, travel, and personal growth and development. You're like, okay, so these are the things that are important to her. Am I aligned with that? So you want to like give some. You want to give some context, right? A fun fact about me. So I find everything entertaining. A fun fact about me is that I live my life to frolic, fuck, and have fun. You're like, oh, okay. And if you know me and you've spent time listening to me, you're like, oh yeah, that's accurate. It's pretty accurate, right? Like, I am about the glass is half full, not half empty. And me talking about the things that I enjoy or what I'm passionate about or what excites me in life, like these lang this language also will activate your potential play partners to be like, ooh, okay. Then you go into, these are the things that I'm seeking. One of the things for me, back in the day, my profile would be, super attracted to humor. Here are the things that turn me on, is usually how I would put it. I was very popular. Here are the things that turn me on. Great sense of humor, things that smell good, and intellect or personal growth and development. Those are some of the things that actually arouse me. So as I'm saying, these are the things that turn me on. It's telling my potential playmates that these are the things, do you have these qualities? Without me saying, these are the qualities I'm looking for, and these are the qualities I don't want. So in a profile, you never want to say, these are all the things I don't want. Because when you say that, first of all, if you believe in the law of attraction, you're calling in what you don't want. Two, people often don't read, I don't. They just read the other part. They don't acknowledge the negative component. So when you're writing a profile, write about the things you do desire. Like for me, saying smell good. Versus me saying, I don't like bad smells. I'm very nasally sensitive. And so things that smell good are very exciting for me, but things that smell bad for me will, like, my vagina close for business and I'll gag. But I don't need to say, all right, I don't like things that smell. I don't want people that smell bad. I'm very nasally sensitive. No, what I said is, in a list of things that turn me on, things that smell good. Okay, so when you're writing your profile, those are the pieces that you want to be thinking about. Now, again, if let's go for, all right, let's start with our monogamous vanilla people, right? What are the things that excite you about other people? What are the things you want? Are you looking for an ongoing play partner? Because you remember you figured know thyself. Are you looking for an ongoing play partner? Are you looking for, one night stand? What are you looking for? So word it in a way that is like inviting. You can say, say, for example, you love Okay, so say you're looking for one night stands, all right? You know, you can say, you know, one of the things that really excite me about is about the newness of meeting lots of new people. I'm looking for, you know, one night stands. It's super hot for me. Own it. Be like, okay. Because then the people who are wanting ongoing are be like, ah, we're not a good fit. And for you, you want something that's new on a regular basis and the excitement and the thrill of the newness of a one-night stand. Great. Then that's what you're going to get. If you're looking for somebody that you want to play with on an ongoing basis, so that you have a booty call whenever you need, then, you know, you would word it differently. You know, I find it super hot to build an ongoing sexual relationship with somebody. Again, you said, you know, you're inviting, you getting the gist. Okay. So that's an important part of if you're looking for, and if you are looking for exclusivity and monogamy, then you're going to need to say that in your play, in your profile, being that I am monogamous. So I am looking for, you know, if it's an ongoing partner, I'm looking for an ongoing partner, exclusive, casual sex partner. State it. Own it. Because you don't want, trust me, if that's what you're really wanting, you do not want the non-monogamous people interacting with you. Then the non-monogamous people don't want you to interact with them either. It's just complex. And again, I've done a whole non-monogamous people shouldn't date monogamous people and monogamous people should not date non-monogamous people. I did a whole podcast on that, why that's not a good life choice. Okay. Go listen to that episode. All right. So let's go to, now we're moving to our non-monogamous people. So super, super, super important part of your profile is you need to put it in the beginning of who you are. Right. So like the first line, you know, so for example, let's go back to my original. I'm a 49-year-old sex orgasmic goddess who is ethically non-monogamous. And then in later in my profile, I may write, you know, something along, you know, what excites me and makes me tingle. Is somebody who has experience in the world of ethical non-monogamy. And again, I always bring it back to why that trait is hot and sexy for me, why it stimulates me, why I want to choose it. I could word it in a very simple way, which is, you know, looking for, you know, age between this age and this age, that smell good and have experience in ethical non-monogamy. I can word it that way. And if you want to, you can too. However, I find it's more come hithereth if we tell our audience why you're looking, why it arouses them, why it excites them, why it makes it tingly. Okay. So our kinksters. All right. So that's a big important piece. So all the things that you're still, you know, what you're looking for, what, you know, you've known thyself, what you're looking for, what kind of non-monogamy are you looking for? These kinds of things need to be put as much as you can in your profile. And as clear and concise as possible. And you can do the vetting process, but, you know, it's important. Like, is it ethically non-monogamous? Is it poly? Like what, you know, what are you looking for? Are in that language? Okay. That is what needs to happen in your profile. All right. Kinksters. You need to be very clear that you are kinky and you are either dominant or submissive or switch very early on in your profile, and what it is that you're looking to explore with other kinksters. Are you looking to explore power exchange, BDSM? You're looking to explore your kinks. Like, and again, depending, unless you're on FetLife, You probably won't go into your kinks because the profiles won't let you go into that graphic kind of things. So, you know, just a general that you are, you know, what kind of, again, power dynamic are you looking for? Yeah. So lean into that. Okay. So say I'm looking for a subby. Here's how I might put it. Start with my entry, 49-year-old, orgasmic sex goddess. kinky orgasmic sex goddess looking to give somebody a good spanking. All right, so that tells you that I'm dominant and that at least that I'm looking for somebody to spank. Or, you know, looking to, you know, explore my dominant side, express my dominance, or express my submissive side, you know, whatever you're looking for. Or, you know, looking for somebody that can, you know, play, that plays on both teams. All right, whatever it is. But that first line needs to catch your attention that, oh, I'm talking to an ethical non-monogamous kinkster who loves sex. So me, I'm a kinky, slutty, orgasmic, non-monogamous slut. And these are the people I want to come and play with me. Okay. So that is how you write your profile. Okay. So we know thyself, then write your profile. Now we got the vetting process. So at the end of your profile, whatever it is, ask them a question. If they answer the question, it meant that they read your whole profile. This is an important part of, are they going to be a good fit for you? Did they read it? So you can ask a question like, what are three things you're passionate about? You know, one thing you enjoyed about my profile. You know, if you could be a vegetable, what vegetable would you be? If you have a superpower, what superpower would you have? Something along that lines that will open up the possibility of their interaction with you. And it also gives somebody this other than saying, hey, because that doesn't really invoke conversation. Okay. And then once they follow along, whatever it was, your question, they answer your question, then engage with them. If they don't answer your question, they're not a good fit for you and move on. Don't try. It's not going to work. It means that they don't follow instructions, which means that they're not going to be good in bed. These are things that are really important. People that can communicate, you need people who can communicate efficiently in order for them to be a good lover, in order for them, you to get your needs met. Do they follow instructions? Do they respect boundaries? All of that happens by just asking a question and whether or not they answer the question. You learn all of that that you need to know about them from that. Okay. Then we get to our vetting process. So figure out what your vetting process is. Back in the day, this was my vetting process. I would, you know, ask them a question. There was a series, I had like three questions I usually ask: superpower, vegetable, and what are you passionate about? So those were my three questions that usually gave me a pretty good idea of like, are they a good fit for me? Enough to get to the next round. So then they would get to the next round and it would be a phone call, and we would have a phone call fairly quickly. And if we couldn't orchestrate a phone call, then it wasn't a good fit. And I moved on. I didn't spend much time in texting back and forth, messaging back and forth, because there's a lot of things that people can be and waste time. And, you know, I'm a busy woman. So then I'd have a phone call. If that went well, I would meet them for a tea or coffee date, not a dinner, not a date, but a coffee date. And because of what I was looking for, all I needed was a coffee date to see whether or not I was going to, you know, have sex with them. And then for me, I had a rule that I never had sex after the first meeting, so that my vagina had time to catch up with my brain to make the decision whether that was a good fit for me or I was just horny and I said yes to something that wasn't going to be good. Now, that's my process. That was my process. That process has been awesome. I've had incredible lovers. I've very, very rarely have had any duds and been like, oh God, how did they get through the process? Very few times. The only time that ever happened is when I broke my rules and followed through on my process. So it's important to figure out what is yours. Is it a phone call? Is it a meet for drinks somewhere? Is it a video chat before, you know, do you need to have certain amount of, you know, texting back and forth? And then interaction, and then real person. Like, what is it that you want? What is your process? You need to know, like, know thyself. You need to know what your process is, your vetting process is. And like I said, stick to your vetting process. The only time I ever had bad sex or been like, what the fuck did I do? Was when I did not follow my process. For me, that 24-hour window from date, like meeting to sex, was an important part of my whole being, of making sure that for me, that was an important process. If I did that, because if I really want to have sex with you right now, I should really want to have sex with you 24 hours from now. If I don't really want to have sex with you 24 hours with you, like 24 hours later, there's a reason that I was ignoring because I was horny. And I've had nothing but epic sex most of my life and epic lovers. So figure out what that is. If it's one night stands, you like the thrill of you meet, you have sex. Okay, great. Make sure what's your safety protocols. Make sure you have somebody that knows where you are, who you're meeting, all that kind of stuff for safety, you know, safety. Now that's for your like vanilla sex, monogamous people, and your ethical non-monogamous people, same deal. Now for our kinksters, it's a whole other thing. You need to make sure, unless if you want to have, you know, basically play, then you need to go to a club. You need to go to a party where people that you know that are safe and you can play on the spot. But if you are meeting people, then you need, there's a longer process. You want to do your hard limits list with each other. You want to negotiate what a scene would look like. You need to feel safe. You need to ultimately, do they have references? Are they willing to share with you references? Any kinksters should be able to share. Any doms should, that are decent, should be able to have, you know, one or two people that you can call, either in the community or somebody that they've played with, to make sure that they're safe, that you're going to let them, remember, if you're going to let somebody tie you up, make sure you've done your due diligence and that they're not a sociopath. A sadist, absolutely, if you're a masochist, but not a sociopath. All right. You want to have orgasms and sex time and feel satisfied. You don't want to be chopped up into little pieces and buried in the desert or the forest. Okay. So, vetting process needs to be more in depth, more layers before you go off and allow somebody to tie you up. And if you're like, oh yeah, again, might be a good idea, reach out to me, and I can help you navigate what that process would look like for you. How do you navigate that process that works ideally for you? All right. So, the where, again, we got different options. We got all of our dating apps. For the ethical non-monogamous, we have the sex clubs, depending on where you live, you can go to. I will do another episode about what are sex club etiquettes, and how do you navigate a sex club. That's a whole other podcast. Hold on, let me write a note. Sex clubs. You know, you can go to a sex club, and or you can dive into the world of house parties with swingers. There's a huge community. You can make some friends, have people over to your house. So that's how you kind of, you know, that's how you navigate, you know, the ethical non-monogamy component of where, other than your apps, you get places that you can meet people. Also, for the Kinksters, you can meet people at the Munches, which is, that's what they call meet and greet in a very vanilla space, usually at a restaurant somewhere, and everybody's not in their kink gear, and, you know, you meet some people in the community, and it's a good place, especially if you're brand new, is a great place to meet other people, and they always have a host or a dungeon master who's in charge of kind of helping the newbies meet their, find their tribe, in find their people in the mix of the kinky community. So that's ideally, I would recommend if you're new to go to a Munch. FetLife is a great opportunity. There's lots, and then FetLife will tell you about all the kinky activities that are available in your region or your area, or you can go outside of your region or your area. FetLife will help you find all the Munches. Okay. So FetLife is basically, if you haven't heard of it, for Kinksters, it's like Kinksters or Facebook for kinky people, basically. There's every kind of group, there's chats, there's the information, there's dating, there's all sorts of stuff. So that's where I ultimately would send you to go find your potential play partners. Okay. To an event that's hosted. And then once you're a part of the community, that's why the whole Munches, once you are accepted into the community, your community knows you, then you usually get invited to like private play parties, where you can, or you see people at the sex clubs. There's usually often the sex clubs will have a kink spot for the Kinksters that want to explore, or stations, or they may have a kink night that you can go to. But again, we'll do a whole, like, what is the protocols about sex, the difference between protocols at a sex club versus a kink club. And I'll do a whole podcast on that. Okay. All right. So that's the how, that's the why, that's the where. And as always, stay open, stay horny, and stay curious. And remember, if you need me, you can find me at guymorissette.com for all your kink needs, empressgaia.com. And if you want to explore the more explicit sexual content that I create, then go join my Loyal Fans page. And I am empressgaia1 on loyalfans.com. Also, all the videos, all my videos, because I'm done with censorship, they live either at Loyal Fans, my Loyal Fans page, as well as my FetLife page, which you can find at Empress Gaia on FetLife. So, all right. Hopefully you see me soon. Bye-bye. Well, I hope today's episode inspired you, encouraged you, and of course, made you feel tingly inside. I just want to take a moment to tell you how much I appreciate the time that you spend and how I really deeply appreciate you listening. I do it for you guys, the audience, and I love and adore you guys. So, quick loving reminder, I am not available for naked pictures, getting married, having sex, or having anybody's babies. And when you want to spend more time with me in a professional capacity as your coach, your teacher, your educator, your facilitator, you can reach me at GaiaMorissette.com. That's the gateway to all things Gaia. Now, if you're like, oh, I really wonder what's in the extended version. I also lovingly invite you to follow me on Instagram, which the handle is My Orgasmic Life Podcast, where you can leave feedback and comments. Also come join me on Facebook at My Orgasmic Life Podcast Facebook group. And I really want to hear from you. I want to know how this show affected you. What did you learn? Was it inspirational? Did you agree? Do you disagree? I want to know, because I'm a little bit of a voyeur. So I want to know how am I affecting you? So please, please, please come leave some comments. Now, if you're like, but I don't want everybody to know what I'm thinking, which is okay. Sometimes we need privacy and we need to be anonymous. So you would like that option? We have that. Okay, listeners, until next time, may your life be filled with sexy exploration and orgasmic pleasure. Mwah. Bye-bye.